down to business on Newstalk
with Electric Ireland, giving your business flexible tailored solutions for gas and electricity. Search Electric Ireland Business.
Now, what do Amazon, Uber, Airbnb, Spotify and Netflix have in common? Well, they're all considered exponential organizations. These are companies that grow at above average rate up to 10 times faster than comparable companies in the industry. That's according to my next guest, Yuri Van Geest. He's an author and entrepreneur who joins me now to discuss his best-selling book, Exponential Organizations, and how companies can accelerate their growth by using technology. Yuri, you're very welcome to the program. Firstly, can I ask you, this is a book written by four people, mm-hmm. which is somewhat unusual. Why did it take four of you to write this great book?
Yeah, so we have complementary skill sets. So it's me, Salim Ismail, Mike Malone, pretty well known in the US and globally, and also Peter Diamandis. He wrote, co-wrote four chapters of the book, and right. Michiel Schumann, my colleague, did all the research.
Yep. Okay.
Five people, yeah. It's a complicated book, so you need a lot of people to make it excellent, right?
Now, the book has done very well, so yeah. You better give us the stats first so we can start off on a high note.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we have around 300,000 copies, probably already 400,000, but the latest numbers, there's some delay there. 20 languages, it's a top three book of all times from Silicon Valley. It was a top five book for, according to Fortune, Forbes and Bloomberg, and number one book by the Aspen Institute 2 years ago.
Okay. So you're from Singularity University. Again, we've engaged with them many times on the EY Entrepreneur of the Year program, and it's a great organization. So let's talk then about these companies. Mm-hmm. Can we start with then what an exponential leader actually is? You attribute four attributes: technologist, humanitarian, innovator, and futurist. Talk me through those.
Yeah, so the way I would like to broaden it a little bit. Exponential leaders, they are more open, more vulnerable, more authentic, more purpose-driven. So in that sense, also more visionary. They build open horizontal ecosystems inside their organizations and outside, most importantly. They are more courageous.
They're nimble. They move quicker.
But more humble. Yeah. But they're also more decisive. So they are enabling and facilitating at first, not less top-down and directive, open and vulnerable, but they're also very decisive to keep up with the pace of change in the environment.
Okay, so is one of the things that you're saying in the book that the future of every company will become a software company? Is that too general?
It's too general. I would say the trend line is that most companies become increasingly software-driven, AI-driven, but not fully. And it depends on your vertical markets, how software-driven you might become. Not every company needs to be an exponential organization, right? You have local retail companies with a local environment and a customer base. That's also still applicable and viable, right? But the shift is towards more software-driven over time.
Okay, so if we look at a company like Uber or Airbnb, we understand how technology is really the enabler in those type of companies. But if I look at the local restaurant or local pub, what you're saying is some of these attributes can be applied, but not all.
Yeah, exactly. We have identified 11 characteristics. Not all of them apply to small companies, but if you have a local shop, you might include a purpose. How are you creating a better world in terms of sustainability, social cohesion, wellness, healthcare, whatever? If you differentiate your offering, your shop or your restaurant in that sense, you have a better case of being successful long term.
Yeah, okay, and I get that. Let's walk through some of what you say are the needs that the book points to. A higher aspirational purpose for the organization. Yep. Let's look at that for a second.
Yeah.
Again, that's probably leadership driven, is it?
It's driven by all employees, ideally, increasingly. We see startups, also corporates, that embrace the purpose fully. So the shareholder value, yes, short-termism and financial KPIs, but more importantly, they are driven by authentic, heartfelt purpose to help create a better world. Look at, for example, BlackRock, the CEO, right? He's saying we're only going to invest in purpose-driven organizations going forward. It's a big shift emerging. In the last 7 years, the installed base of purpose-driven organizations globally has increased from 1% to 8% today, 8%, a doubling every 2 years. In the next 10 years, if your company doesn't have a real authentic purpose to help create a better world, you will become less impactful and less successful.
What about flat organizations and keeping them flat as a business grows. That's generally a real challenge for most organizations.
I agree. Let's take a look at Google. There's a great book about Google by Eric Schmidt 4 years ago, How Google Works. Google has a hierarchy, right, to a certain degree, but way less than a classic linear industrial organization. They are still able to have less middle management layers, have a more decentralized decision-making model in teams and individual employees, and that's the future. You need some hierarchy, but less than in the past, half of it.
Yeah. Let's talk as well about, and again, I think I understand this environment where you have rapid prototyping, failure, and adaptation. So really what you're empowering people to come up with ideas. They're going to fail fast if they're wrong, and they're going to adapt things as they go along, yeah?
Yeah. You can see as a metaphor, the organization is a biological organism, right? Distributed sense making and responding. That means that every employee and every individual employee or team is able to make their own experiments using lean startup design thinking and agile and scrum as methodologies. So this applies to marketing, to sales, to service, but also to HR, to finance. All departments are able to experiment on a daily or weekly basis, learn from it, and be experimental and innovative. That's the future. We see it in PepsiCo, different companies in the world, in Google, Amazon as well.
That's easier said than done, though, Yuri. You know, if you have an organization where, you know, and a lot of them have sort of theoretical, theoretical place where they're saying, yeah, it's okay to fail, but if you fail, you get fired.
That's changing, right? ING Bank used to be like that 5 years ago when they started this program of innovation by all employees. Then they changed the KPIs by HR, so it allowed for failure to happen and to be promoted even though you've made a mistake. And we also see the rise of heroic failure awards in Procter & Gamble, Tata and Cisco. So if you fail in a unique way, of course, you get amplified, promoted, you get a bonus, $10,000 or more. And you get global recognition by the global CEO at the largest annual employee event.
If you fail.
If you fail. So, and you change the KPIs, you change the culture. So in these companies, they are way more experiential over the years by embracing heroic failure awards. It sounds ridiculous and funny, but it's real business sense.
Okay. So having written the book and having been close to the organizations that you've been close to, such as Amazon, Uber, Airbnb, etc., where do you see it going? And where do you see it going, particularly with SMEs and startups?
Yeah, so I see a shift intensifying the importance and necessity of purpose-driven organizations. I see a shift towards more conscious leadership in organizations, more stakeholder management, inclusiveness societally, ecologically. I see the rise of more algorithms inside organizations more than in the past.
So that's a kind of an automation or a mechanization.
But I also see, a counterforce against exponential organizations, because it's a winner-takes-all market, right? Particular players and founders have too much power and money and influence, and there will be a backlash against that, in my view, long-term, maybe already next year. So we will see a shift towards more open source, commons-based alternatives, new startups, new competitors, regulation against the large tech platforms emerging to consolidate or, let's say, inhibit too much power. So that I think there will be a backlash in the next 10 years.
Do you see companies becoming much smaller headcount-wise?
No, I think what I anticipate is that tech platforms will become more powerful as back-end platforms. The front-end will fragment, so there will be a lot of startups piggybacking on the power of the back-end platforms that we see today, like Google, Amazon, Facebook, blah, 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 Microsoft. So there will be a mixture of that. So startups have a good way to innovate, but the risk is that startups will be disrupted by the platforms themselves if they become very successful.
Right? Yeah.
So it's really hard to innovate as a startup because...
Well, you're focused on survival.
Shadow. Yeah.
Like you know, this isn't the kind of stuff that you look at as a startup because you're sort of focused on the here and now making it to the next month.
Yeah, my advice would be I would see an explosion of startups the next decade, but you have to be distanced from the tech platforms. If they are able to copy you easily, don't go there. They will copy you or buy you or whatever or disrupt you.
So it does come back to a unique, authentic offer, no matter what it is, what sector you're in.
I would say differentiate based on as a startup, you have to differentiate from big players by focusing on purpose, heartfelt, every employee, be conscious, be inclusive, be ethical, right? Be open and transparent, focus on trust. Trust will become key in the next decade as a differentiator for you as a startup to do, to offer across all vertical markets.
How did you get into this business in terms of what's your own experience?
No plan, it just happened. I was asked by Salim, let's write the book 7 years ago. I met him 9 years ago at Singularity University, and I was one of the first participants. And yeah, stuff happens, right? It's all serendipity and synchronicity, that's all.
Okay, so just tell us briefly, if you would, you were with the IMI earlier in the week. I know you gave an open lecture in both Cork and in the IMI's campus out in Sandyford. Tell me, what was the Irish reaction to what you were saying?
Oh, they loved it. I travel the world, 50 countries a year, but the Irish people are really engaged. They are grateful, they're excited, they're open, they're curious, they ask questions, even though they're a little bit more introvert, so that tells a lot. Yeah, super engaging. I'm really happy to be here.
And did you see anything here around Irish companies or anything that we're doing as a nation?
Yeah, I do believe that the level of knowledge can be a little bit higher. So I had expected a higher level of awareness, but that can be leapfrogged in the next few years. But that's the only, let's say, negative observation I have.
Okay.
But yeah, the eagerness is there. So that's more important. It's more about mindset and attitude than where you are today. Yeah.
Okay, well, my guest is Yuri van Geest. The book is called Exponential Organizations, and as he said himself, it sold somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 copies. Thank you, Yuri, and thank you for your insights.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for coming into us today.
Welcome.
Talk to you soon.